If the Lord's going to be your shepherd, you can't live in want. You got to quit being a chaser. So I want to challenge you, throw out your timeline. If you will make the Lord your shepherd, then he will cause what you're chasing to chase you. What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? We're all pursuing something. And there's nothing wrong with wanting certain things in your life, having goals. But if you're like me, what happens is I go from pursuit to panic. If I'm going to have value, I have to have this achievement by this date. Can I ask you a question? What is it that you think, if I don't have that, I'm nothing yet? The 23rd Psalm has so much power in it that it can steady you. It can become an equalizer in your life. Things are going good, things are going bad. You just stay steady when you begin to understand what Psalm 23 is about. Now, if you study numerology, that's the study of numbers in the Bible. Numerology is the 23rd Psalm. 23 literally means abundant blessing. So if you want some abundant blessing in your life, you may want to pay attention to this series we're going to be in. And so I just want to do this right now. In fact, if you have your Bible app or your Bible, you can pull it out. And we're going to read this together. We're going to put it on the screens. Why don't you stand to your feet? We don't always do this. It's a great thing to do it. But let's do it today. We're going to read the entire 23rd Psalm together. You guys ready? Yeah. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, we thank you for your word. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for your truth. I pray, God, you'd use this message in a powerful way in all of our lives. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm excited about today's message. And as we dive into this, we're only talking about the first couple of lines today. And so, but there's just so much in here, so I'm excited. Right off the bat, we see the very first line says what? The Lord is my shepherd. But I need to point a couple things out. It doesn't just say the Lord. The word Lord here is Yahweh. Yahweh is very intentional. God's saying Yahweh, which means David, the God who took your relatives out of slavery from Egypt and brought them into freedom, into the promised land in Canaan, that same God is your shepherd. That same God is watching out for you. That same God knows exactly what you're going through right now, and I am your shepherd, and I got you. Yeah. How many of you guys need to hear that today? He's like, I got you. The Lord is, and then it says, my shepherd. This is so powerful because oftentimes we get caught up with the wrong labels. We really do. And so let me tell you what I love about this is that all of us are wearing a label of some sort. Maybe your label says something like this. And you don't look like you're wearing it, but we all are. We're wearing something that says, you know, I'm a failure, and you always are remembering something that happened to you, some problem that you face. Maybe for you, your label is that, you know, I'm an addict, and I know if you go to 12-step, you're supposed to say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic, or hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a whatever addict, right? And so that you're taught that. Or maybe for you, you say, my label is that I wear this scarlet letter everywhere I go, oh, I'm divorced. Well, first of all, let me just say, no, you're single, okay? We don't need to always wear this. We can take this label off, right, at some point. But maybe for you, you're carrying that around and you're reminded every time you see family together, you go like, well, that's what our family used to look like, but it doesn't look like that now. And so you feel like you're wearing this label. Or how about this one? Maybe you're really still mad at someone who let you go. It was not fair what they did. I can't believe it. And so you walk around angry and you're like, I can't believe they did this to me. And it was so wrong. That company did me wrong. And so we're wearing a label that was fired. Don't mess with me. I'm ticked off. I can't believe it. And so we're angry, right? Or maybe for you, you just simply just know you're not enough. You're just like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not educated enough. What is your not enough? And so oftentimes we're wearing that. Or maybe for you, you just feel rejected. I don't know what label you have, but we all have different labels we're wearing. But the Lord is my shepherd teaches me something. It tells me that whatever my label is, God says no more of that. So he takes the label off. He gets rid of it. And he comes along and he says, this is your new label. The great I am his. That's who I am. That's my label. Someone get excited in the house of God today. That's what it's about right there. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Appreciate you. I just want to encourage you. Paul's going to have his chest sticking out all day today. He's all fired up. His, man. That's right. And so it's true. We are wearing the wrong label. Now, let me warn you. Some of you are all excited. Oh, no, I know. I'm a winner, and I got this and that. But let me warn you. That's great that you have that label, but I need to warn you that label is also a lie that says, oh, I'm in first chair. What about the day you're not in first chair or first position? What about, well, I'm a CEO. Well, what if you're no longer the CEO? Well, I'm this and that. And so you got to be careful. This is what I said about steadying you, is that sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm such a loser. I'm so rejected. I'm this and that. God's like, no, you're mine. And oh, I'm this and I'm that. God goes, no. Those are great labels, but no, you're mine. See, I remind myself often that before I'm the senior pastor of anything, I'm just God's child. Do you see how it steadies you? And so you got to be careful. Don't listen to people, what people think or say of you, whether it's up or down. Both can lead to disaster. And so people who are all, oh, I'm this and I'm that, that leads to entitlement. This is where people make dumb decisions. You think, what in the world were you thinking? Well, you weren't, because you thought, I'm the big guy. I'm the big person. I'm Mr. Mrs. whatever. And so you start thinking, oh, I'm so great. And then guess what? You make really foolish decisions. So I just want to challenge you. Let the word of God say, steady me, God. I am simply your child. Up or down, I'm your child. My confidence is in you, Lord. It's in who you say I am. So if you're taking notes, first thing is this. I am wearing the wrong label. The all-powerful I am, the all-powerful God of the universe, I am his. So I just want to encourage you to put that label on, because your label is a lie. God's label is the truth. You are who God says you are. Please keep that in mind. So now the next part, we've only covered the first, five words of Psalms 23. Are you already excited? Is God already doing something right now? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Another translation says, I shall not want. The word lack and the word want come from the same Hebrew word. The word is chaser. I love this word. Chaser, let me ask you, are you a chaser? What are you chasing? What are you pursuing? We're all pursuing something. And there's nothing wrong with wanting certain things in your life, having goals. But if you're like me, what happens is I go from pursuit to panic. And I'm like, I have to have this, I have to have that, and I have to have this by now. You know, some of you are like, I'm 30, I'm supposed to be married. Let me quickly find someone to get married to, right? And so you're not dating anymore. Now you're panicking. Dating means data. So now you've got the wrong data, but you ignore that data because you're like, I need to be with someone. And so what are you doing? You're panicking. And so you're like, I can't find the godly person that's attractive, so I'll find the attractive person and make them godly. Doesn't work. Try it all you want. It doesn't work. And so I'm just warning you right now that if you're not careful, you need to recognize you're not pursuing anymore. Now you're panicking. And so I got to have this by now. I got to have that, right? Or maybe you panic another area. This was me when I was in school. I was like going to the registrar's office. Can I take 25 hours a semester? They're like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm making that up. But I was like, what's the max I can take? Why? I was like, I got to get to school as fast as possible so I can get on to do what I want to do. What was I doing? I was saying, I got to get this done now. What was I really saying? I was saying, if I'm going to have this achievement by this date. Can I ask you a question? What is it that you think if I don't have that, I'm nothing yet? If I'm not in a relationship, if I'm not married by this date, if I'm not pregnant by this date, if I don't have this much money to bank by this date, can I challenge you something right now? If the Lord's going to be your shepherd, you can't live in want. You got to quit being a chaser. So I want to challenge you, throw out your timeline. Just throw it out. Throw out your timeline. This is hurting you. And when you give yourself a timeline, you're saying, God, I'm in charge, not you. I'm in charge of time. God was here before time was here. The only reason we have time is because God put the moon and the stars in place and created an orbit. He's the only reason there is time. So he is timeless. So trust the Lord in his timing, in his way. Quit being a chaser. And here's what's amazing, by the way. There's other scripture that proves this, that if you will make the Lord your shepherd, then he will cause what you're chasing to chase you. If you will put him first, he says, I'll have what you're looking for find you. Because you put the Lord first. Chase him. I just want to challenge you. Number two, I don't need to chase anything. I have everything I need. If you say, but I'm going to need this tomorrow. Well, then you don't need it today. So why are you worried about tomorrow, the Bible says? There's enough problems for today. So I just want to encourage you. If I don't have it yet, I don't need it yet. And when I need it, God always comes through. So I just want to challenge you. Quit being a chaser. Again, you say, well, where do goals come in all this? We're going to get to that. But I want to challenge you to slow down, because oftentimes goals become panic. Got to have this by now. Got to do this by now. Got to be in this relationship. Got to have that. Got to have this much money. Got to. And it's just like, who's the gotta behind all this? And so if you're not careful, gotta becomes your God. And so I just want to challenge you. You're already enough. You are His. You don't need more stuff, more money, bigger house, more nicer cars, bigger boat. You don't need that to be enough. And so you're being a chaser. And this is why people buy things they can't afford. They get themselves in trouble, right? Some people are fashionistas, right? And I love fashion too, but we begin to chase that. And if you want to know how ridiculous that is, just go look at a picture of yourself 10 years ago and you'll be like, what was I wearing? That's a chaser. That's a definition of it, because you're like, I want the latest, I want the greatest, but the latest and the greatest is going to be worth about $2 in a garage sale in about 5 years. So I just want to encourage you, be careful that in your pursuit doesn't become panic. Because when you panic, you just make really bad decisions. You choose the wrong person, you end up in the wrong bed, you end up buying things you can't afford. I want to warn you. And then you get, and then guess what? Then you're spending all your time trying to cover for the bad decisions you made. So I just want to challenge you. Recognize it. If the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack anything. And so trust in God's timing. Let me say something about the Lord too. I love Christmas time. I know we're about to enter the holiday season, but one of the things we've been doing ever since my kids were little is that when we gather everyone up together, when someone's opening a gift, no one else opens a gift. So we're like, okay, it's Sophie's turn, and she opens a gift, and we all sit there and we watch her open. We're like, oh, that's awesome. You know, she shows, oh, look at that. Oh, I love it. You know, she's all excited. Great. Now, okay, who's up? Okay, now, okay, Mason, you open the gift. Okay, great. Now, okay, you know, Marley, you open the gift for Lily. Or, you know, well, we've got daughter-in-laws now, right? I call them daughter-in-loves. And so, you know, when we have them, they open their gifts or whatever. Of course, now it's really going to be fun because we've got a grandbaby. That's what really makes it fun, right? Let's be honest. That's what it's all about now. But what do? We're like, no one freaks out and goes, well, why'd Sophie get a gift? Where's my gift? And it's like, hey, it's okay. There's a lot under the tree. In other words, we thought of you. Right? No one panics. But we do this in life. We get so upset when someone gets blessed. Like, oh, why are they getting married already? This is every girl who gets engaged. All her girlfriends are like, I just think it's a little fast. Which is code word for you're not engaged. And so I just want to challenge you, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? I just don't know. That's kind of fast. If it was you, you'd be like, oh, check it out, girl. That's how that works. We panic. Why they get blessed? God's like, chill. I've got a blessing for them in my time. I've got a blessing coming up for you in my time. And so can we just trust that God has got all of His kids covered and that He wants to bless you? This means I can celebrate other people's blessing. Go, great, you're engaged. I love it. And so I just want to encourage you in your mind, instead of getting jealous, learn to be jealous for people, not of them. Celebrate their wins. Be like, oh, that's great. And this is what I always think in my mind. If I start to get jealous, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad, Lord, you blessed them, because I know that I'm next. Yeah. Just have that mentality. It's okay. And I'm really thankful. And even if I'm not next, I'm thankful that you blessed them, because I'm already blessed. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need to live as a chaser. I can trust God. So we've just covered the first line. You guys getting something yet? Isn't God's word powerful? Aren't we thankful for a God who just delivers the word in such a powerful way? Check this out. So He says what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not chase anything. I have everything I need. I shall not live in want. I lack nothing. Then it says this. I love this next line. And this one really hit me hard. It says this. He makes me lie down. Oh, this is a good one. Are you like me and you don't really want to lie down? You want to go, 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 go? You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not talking about like just taking a nap. Don't you ever notice little kids, you're like, you need to take a nap. And they're like, no, I don't want to take a nap. I wish someone would ask me to take a nap right now. Please ask me to take a nap. I'd be like, no problem. I'll go lay down right now, right? So, no, but the truth is what this is saying is that we're so go, go, go in our society. Right? I got to do this. I got to do that. And we're in our walk with God. We're like, come on, God, let's go. We got to get going. And God's like, no. I want you to come lie down. You're like, I don't want to lie down, God. I got things to do. I got places to go. I got people to see. And God's like, no, I want you to come lie down. And so if you're like me, He makes me lie down. It doesn't say He leads me. It doesn't say that yet. He says, He makes me. Why? I don't want to do that. I got stuff to do. I got plans. God's, you need to lie down. And by the way, when it says lie down in green pastures, there were no green pastures. They weren't everywhere. See, we're imagining in our mind the scripture, oh, He makes you lie down in green pastures. We're imagining like a giant golf resort with all this beautiful green grass. But these are smelly sheep, by the way. This is a reference to shepherding. And so God's our shepherd. He's overseeing us. We're the smelly sheep. Do you know sheep are kind of dumb, by the way? Thanks, God. Thanks for calling me a dumb sheep. I appreciate it. That's what God's saying. He's saying, I'm going to make you lie down. But did you know that to lie down on green pasture, which means that the shepherd had to go out before? Because if you've been to Israel, if you've been in the Middle East, it's almost all desert. There's occasionally a patch of green. And the shepherd goes to the forest and goes, come on over here. I want you to lay down right here. The shepherd thought about it before you ever got there. I know where I want you, and I'm going to have you lie down. And it says, he makes me. Some of you are like, I don't want to slow down. I want to keep going. And God says, you know what? If you don't want to slow down, that's fine. I'll make you.
That's right.
I'll let you get sick. Go ahead, run yourself down. Watch how fast I lay you down. You know what God did to me years ago? He gave me back issues. Boom. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, now I'm lying down. I didn't want to lie down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I didn't really choose this. And you know the thing I hate about back issues? They're never manly. It's never like, oh, how'd you hurt your back? Well, these three guys jumped me, and I had to fight them off. No, it's always like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like the most unmanly way ever to throw your back. Like, could it at least be like, yeah, I was squatting 750, and I pulled my back. No, it's never that. It's always like, with some water, Has God made you lie down? We don't like that. Fine, God, it's just going to look weird. People are looking at me. I feel kind of dumb, but I guess I can lie down, but I just feel kind of stupid doing this. First of all, don't do this with a pack on your back, but that's okay. I just learned something when I lie down is that the only view I have is no longer people, but I see the vastness of heaven. I think I forgot how big heaven is and how this is the audience that I should be playing for.
That's right.
And you know what's great about lying down is I can't really see you. I can only see up. Could God be making me lie down because I'm so focused on what everyone thinks of me that I forgot what God thinks of me? Could that be why God says, I'm going to make you lie down? Then after that, he says, he leads me. Oh, first he makes me, then he leads me. You see, God can't even lead you until you go at his pace. So I'm going to make you lie down. You know why sheep don't lie down? That's not safe. But the only reason sheep will lie down is because they trust that their shepherd's looking out for them. So, okay, Lord, I'm going to lie down. I suddenly see your vastness. And then it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That tells me that God has a good place for us, right? And so, but then it says this, he leads me beside quiet waters. The next thing he did, so now you think, okay, now you got my attention, God. We always think, okay, now what do you want me to do? Right? You got my attention. What do you want me to do? And God's like, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to be in my presence. So it says, I'm going to make you lie down. Then I'm going to lead you by still waters or quiet waters. Do you know the only water that's loud is rushing? Still waters are quiet, right? It says, he leads me to quiet waters. Do you know another thing? Can I tell you this right now? People are like, I just want to be deep in the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. And God's like, you can't be deep. There is no such thing as depth unless the water's still. You know, rushing waters are always shallow, barely going over the rock. When you hear it, you're like, it's just rushing by, right? But the truth is that when God wants to deepen you, he says, get still. Can I tell you a secret? Don't tell anyone else this. Shh. If you want to get ahead, if you want to go faster, get still. He's going to make you. So you might as well work with him. Lay down. Now let me lead you to stillness. This is where depth of our spirit comes from. God, I just need to be in your presence. You're enough. And when I realize you're enough, God, then I'm enough. Does that make sense?
Amen.
I just want to encourage you today to let God's stillness come over you. What does this mean? This means God doesn't only just provide for you, but this is important. Would you write this down? God prepares a place for my needs to be met. God's like, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. Did I mention that David was the last of all the brothers that got picked to be the king? Did you know that? Which means that you don't need to panic because there's someone in line in front of you. God already has your inheritance for you. God already has an anointing for you. Here is a plan for you. So even if other people seem to be getting ahead, it's okay. God has a plan for you. Does that help someone today? Amen. Quit panic chasing. Stop. Lay down in the presence of God. Some of you right now today just need to go out in your backyard and lay down. You should try that today. First, your neighbor's going to be like, what is my neighbor doing? They're in the front yard laying down. Understand what's... You know, I want to challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you. In fact, I want to challenge you today. Take your phone. Teenagers, listen to me. This is really important. Put your phone down. You're like, what? You can do it. Set your phone. Oh, the 30-year-old women. Come on. You're like a teenager too. Don't lie. And the dudes were all like, what? I'm fine. Scroll, scroll, doom scrolling forever. Like the news is going to change. Even as you just keep going, it's just going to be the same news story again. Again, I'm going to say, come on, put your phone down. Can I tell you right now? Put your phone down. Leave it in the house. Go outside. There's something powerful about this. Get in the presence of God's creation. Look up and say, God, I want to get still before you. Oh, but what if someone needs to get a hold of me? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Put your phone down because someone does need to get a hold of you. Until you learn to disconnect, you can't connect. So I want to challenge you to quit letting the God that's in your pocket keep you from the God of the universe. I want to challenge you. Say, God, I want you. I know you're leading me. I know you're making me. Lay down. And then you're going to lead me to quiet, still waters. And that's going to do what? It's going to lead to this. He refreshes my soul. Ah, I love that. Maybe that's what you need today. God's like, would you slow down? Would you recognize that I'm in charge? Would you throw out your timeline? God's like, I got it. You know God can do more in an instant than you can do in a lifetime? So why don't you trust in him and his timing and his ways? He has got you. And so he refreshes my soul. Now this is important. Hard stop. He refreshes my soul. And then he's going to guide me. Stop. God's like, I'm not even going to talk to you about what you're asking me for. Because you're all saying the same thing. God, what's your will for my life? What's next? Do I get the promotion? Do I not get the promotion? Do I go to this job or that job? Should I live here or live there? Should I date this person or that person? Should I go to this school? And God's like, give me the, oh, Lord, I need to know your will. And God's like, I'm trying to give you my will. My will is for you to know me. Right. You're trying to get God's will. And God's like, you're missing the point. You're trying to get my will, but you're missing me. God's will is for you to know God. So let God refresh and restore your soul. What good does it do to be in the middle of God's will with an empty soul? So God says, let me restore your soul. Let me refresh you. Still waters, quiet place in God's presence. He is your shepherd. He is your God. You trust in him. You know he's got your back. His timing is perfect. Even in the middle of craziness, you trust the Lord and know he's got you. He refreshes my soul. Then and only then, after he refreshes your soul, then it says what? This is the part we're all looking for. Now and only now, the next line, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Did you catch that? Until you know that you are God's, that you were his, that you take off the wrong labels, until you know to quit chasing all the things that you think are going to satisfy you, until you get still before the Lord and trust in the Lord and let him refresh your soul. God's like, me giving you a plan for your life means nothing until you know the plan, first of all, is to know and love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's his goal. Would you write this down? God renews me, then he redirects me. But restoration always comes before direction. He renews me, then he directs me. I just want to challenge you. Quit panic chasing. Slow down. Trust in the Lord's timing. You're not late to the game like you think you are. You're right where you're supposed to be, and God's very aware of where you are. In fact, next week, by the way, I'll just give you a little preview. Next week, we're talking about how the Lord protects you. If you have constant fear or worry, maybe you're worried about your kids, you're worried about life in general, or whether the economy's going to fall apart, or what's going to happen next online, or when am I going to, you know, what's our world's falling apart. That all may be true, but God will protect you. And so next week we're going to unpack that. Be sure to be here for that. Before we get to that, can I ask you something? Is God making you lie down today? Is he making you? I believe God's speaking to someone today. Would you take a moment to bow your heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today God's saying to you loud and clear, I'm your shepherd. Quit worrying. Quit panic chasing. God's like, I know what you want. God says, I know what you want. Don't freak out because someone right beside you has opened their gift. Just enjoy that with them. Celebrate and know that God has a gift for you coming. He's like, I know the gifts you want of that relationship or that job or that increase or that door to open. God's like, I'm aware. I'm your shepherd. The Almighty Yahweh, the promise-keeping, covenant-making God is your shepherd. So stop. Lie down. Get a heavenly perspective. And say, God, I trust your timing. Maybe that's your prayer today, to lift your hand high and say, God, I trust your timing. I'm going to quit panic chasing. I'm going to trust that you know what I want and you know what I need so I can trust in your timing and in your ways. If that's you, you lift your hand high. God, I'm going to panic chase. I'm not going to be a chaser. I'm going to seek after you. And Lord, I know if I'll do that, you'll cause what I want to seek after me. If I'll just put you first and trust in your ways, your perfect ways and your perfect timing. Thank you, God, that you take care of us. You put your hands down. God knew what you needed. So the great shepherd sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He knew that we were separated from God. This is a little bit complicated, but I'm going to try to simplify it. Jesus was fully man, but also he was fully God. He proved that by dying, but then raising again. No one's ever done that. Jesus rose again from the grave. And now he waits for you to receive what he's done for you. He died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and for mine, the things that keep us from God, keep us out of heaven. But if we'll receive him, we'll receive the free gift of heaven and also the gift of knowing him now, walking with him, and having purpose in him. You can pray this prayer with me right now. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Would you pray this with me? You can just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand up right now? All across our different campuses, just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. If you just prayed that prayer, just hold your hand high for the first time. Just hold your hand high. Thank you. We see those hands all the way in the back here at broadcast. Thank you. Thank you, Rodfield. We see your hands. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Portland. God's moving right now in Rockport, Texas. Praise God. Come on, Padre Island. God's moving there. God's moving. Thank you for those who are with us online. You can let us know in the text chat. Just text right now. My hand's raised or click hand raised. Raise your hand high in our prison ministry if you just gave your life to Christ. Lord, we love you. We trust in you. Thank you, God, that we don't need to panic chase because you are our shepherd. You take care of us. Your timing, your way. We trust in you. We will lie down and put our faith back in you again. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Well, it's offering time at Church Unlimited, and we believe in giving. You know, years ago, when we first started the church, when Jessica and I moved to a town where we didn't know anybody and planted Church Unlimited, it used to be called Bay Area Fellowship back in the day. That's what it used to be called. And then we started a bunch of campuses, and we all called a bunch of baby Bay Areas. And so anyways, but eventually we changed the name to Church Unlimited. But when we first planted the church, we were so broke. We were going on faith, and we would order these mailers that we couldn't afford. But we were like, we just want people to come. And so I would hold off on paychecks a week. I mean, it was crazy. Like, that happened like all the time the first couple of years. But let me tell you something else that happened all the time. We would get these red envelopes in the mail from some family. I didn't know who they were. And they would come in, and there was always a check, and it would be shockingly exactly what we needed. And to this day, 27 years later, I still don't know who this family is. I have no idea. I didn't know if they even know who we are, but they knew we were starting a church, and they would just indiscriminately send a check. I always would freak out because we'd be down to like the last $100 in the church account. I'm not kidding you. When we're first starting. And there'd be like, we would, you know, have a bill come in for a mailer or whatever, and we'd be like, we need $1,800, and a check would come in for $2,000. And it was not every 2 weeks, or not every 6 weeks. It just is random, but it always hit right when we needed it. It was like, And I thought, you know, this is snail mail, right? They're mailing this. So they're writing this check a week or so before. They have no idea where we're at. And God prompted them before he even knew the need. And it would just show up. And it just reminded me that God has always come through for me. And he always will. He'll do the same for you. And I think giving is a test of that. It's like, will I be faithful? Number one, I'm so thankful for the person who decided to sow into us. Because now look what God has done over the years. This fledgling little church that just believed God for more, right? But I've also been on the receiving, I've been the giving, and I've also been on the receiving end. I've been on both. And so today I'm going to do something a little different during offering time. It says in Scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. What? That is some amazing faith. Who would not want to be a part of a church that did that? They just shared everything they had. It says they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Wow. So we've done this before. It's not the first time, but I want to go ahead and do it today formally. We're going to have our offering time. But I'm asking you at all of our campuses, if you can give some cash, would you do that today? Even if you normally give online only or you write a check, that's great. Would you give some cash too? Because I want to say this to the person who came today who barely got here, barely has gas in your car. You have bills that you know you can't pay, trying to figure out how you're going to pay for something. I want to give you permission in the next few minutes as we pass the offering. If you need some money, go ahead and take it out, okay? Just take it out of the offering plate. Pastor Bill, how's there going to be anything left for the church? God always takes care of the church. So just take what you need. I'm serious. It's okay. Please don't take someone's check. Don't do that. Okay, that won't really do you any good. Please don't do that. But that's why I'm asking those of you who can, if you have cash, to give that way so that the person three or four seats down from you that needs it can take some. Okay? Let's pray and ask God to bless this offering. Aren't you glad to be part of a church that trusts one another and trusts the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we have to give. God, I pray your blessings over this offering. And I thank you, God, that even as we give it, Lord, I thank you that there's going to be people being blessed and those who are giving that are being even more blessed to be able to give. Your Bible says it's more blessed to give even than to receive. I thank you for those who are giving, and I thank you for those who are receiving. And Lord, I thank you for the person today in tears that takes a little cash out. I pray you'd give them the vision that the next time they'll be the ones helping someone else. Thank you, God, for a church that truly cares for one another. In your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Love you guys.